Welcome to Girls Gone Hallmark, a Hallmark review podcast. I'm Megan, and I'm a longtime Hallmark movie fan.
I'm Wendy. I'm your former Hallmark hater.
Today, we're discussing Crimes of Fashion, Killer, Clutch, which originally premiered on the Hallmark Channel on Friday, March 5th. If you want to connect with us when this podcast is over, come follow us on Instagram. We have a Hallmark Instagram account, which is at Girls Gone Hallmark, and we have a Megan and Wendy centric Instagram account, which is at Megan and Wendy.
Come jump into our Facebook group. There's a lot of conversation about this movie. People either loved it or hated it.
Let's hear a synopsis for Crimes of Fashion.
An American psychologist hired to coach a fashion designer helps a guarded French detective unravel a list of fashionable suspects after a murder happens backstage of a Paris fashion show.
Okay.
This movie was directed by Felipe Rodriguez. This is Felipe's 12th directing credit and his second Hallmark project, having directed a movie called Never Too Late to Celebrate in 2023.
This movie was co-written by Tom McCurry and Stephanie Soropas. Tom has 4 writing credits and Stephanie has 2 writing credits. Both worked together on Making Spirits Bright in 2021.
Did we watch that movie? I don't remember that movie.
I don't believe so.
Okay. Brooke D'Orsay plays Lauren Elliott. Brooke has 54 acting credits, which include A Not-So-Royal Christmas from last year's Countdown to Christmas. She also appeared in A Fabled Holiday, Wedding of a Lifetime, A Dickens of a Holiday, and Beverly Hills Wedding.
Gilles Marini plays Andre Dubreuil. apologies in advance for our French pronunciations. We are the single language speaking Americans that they are so mean to in this movie. Jules has 57 acting credits, including the first Sex and the City movie, the Brothers and Sisters series, Days of Our Lives, and one episode of Royal Pains, which co-star Brooke D'Orsay did star in, but they had never met until this movie. So they did not work together.
And this is his first Hallmark appearance?
It is indeed.
Look, I liked him. I'd watch him in more Hallmark movies.
Sure, me too.
Just not this franchise. Spoiler alert. Francois Legrand plays Virgil St. James. This is Francois's 31st acting credit. All of his other credits are French projects. And this is his first Hallmark appearance.
That will be the case for quite a few of our actors, as this does feature a pretty deep French bench. Paloma Cocant plays Charlotte Gautier. This is Paloma's 19th acting credit and, shocker, her first Hallmark appearance.
Ava Magyar plays Diana Feeney. Ava has 40 acting credits that include appearances on the series Black Mirror and Russian Doll.
This movie was filmed on location in Paris. We do have some exterior Paris shots. However, there is a lot of reporting that says that a lot of the interior scenes were filmed in Budapest. And we only ever see like our key actors on the on the French streets. So I feel like they maybe only took a select few to Paris and everybody else went to Hungary.
Got it. I did enjoy seeing those Paris scenes because I love me some Paris. There is another movie of the same name, sort of, Crimes of Fashion. It's a 2004 movie starring one Kaylee Cuoco. That's a hard last name to say too.
What's your first impression of this movie?
You're telling me that Lauren couldn't outrun Virgil St. James? It went all downhill after that part too. I was like, Nope. It was obvious to me that's who that was. Like, as soon as we met him, I was like, isn't that the same guy that was chasing her? Like, sure. And she couldn't outrun him. I'm like, they have the same body type. Like, come on. Give me a break. Yours?
I hear you. My first impression is I'm sitting here in Target fashion, but judging the Paris Fashion Week looks hard.
Look it. I was there last year. It wasn't, I mean, sure, I wasn't at a fashion show or anything, but the streetwear is very similar to like what we wear here. And there were at times when, like, Lauren and her best friend, I forget, Charlotte.
They were
on the streets and they were so dressed up. Like, you would see those people and be like, why are they so dressed up?
Let's talk what we liked about this movie.
I actually liked Brooke D'Orsay. I like her generally.
Acting with the rats?
Oh my God, that was the best scene ever. That was the best scene out of this entire movie. And yeah. In fact, I was like squirming on my couch watching it. I was like, oh, she must really like rodents. Like, I don't, and the tail hit her in the face at one point.
Oh my God. I hope they paid her well.
I would have been dead because I would have screamed my head off if a rat was like on my hair. No.
Yeah, I would have been out. I would have had to quit. We had a mouse in our house one time and my children were younger and like the door had been left open and a mouse ran in and it was running around downstairs and I refused to come downstairs where my children were with the mouse. But I was like, no, mommy's staying on this landing here. I will not. The mouse can run upstairs, by the way. And it did, by the way, but wouldn't protect my children from a mouse. You think I'm doing it for a movie? Brava, Brooke.
Yeah, I will say, like, I enjoyed her. She's very much a bright light. She's got a great smile. She's a great actor. Just give her a better movie.
Yeah. Opinions are really mixed. A lot of people in our Facebook group loved this movie. It wasn't it for me. But I do want to tell you some other things I liked before I tell you why.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you that Brooke is strong. I also think Giles is strong.
Agree.
As well.
Me same.
Would be thrilled to see him in another Hallmark movie. I think he would be the perfect Hallmark hunk. He's obviously super duper hot.
Mm-hmm.
I loved Eva as the Anna Wintour-esque character.
Nope. That's one of my wishes. But go ahead. Go ahead.
It gave me real Devil Wears Prada.
No! Yes.
And at one point, she calls her assistant Emily,
yes,
which is the name of the assistant in Devil Wears Prada. And you can't tell me that was an accident. You felt like she was Bobo Anna Wintour. We'll get to it.
Okay. But you took the words right out of my mouth.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. It's in one of my wishes. And I'll just say it now. I hated the parallel of the Devil Wears Prada where they bring Diana in as this magazine editor to preview Virgil's collection. I was just like, really? We can't like figure out how to put in a magazine editor without doing almost the exact same storyline.
Sure, but Anna Wintour herself would be at all of these fashion shows.
Really? You know the inside track of Anna Wintour?
I see Fashion Week videos where she's well, seated front and center.
She wasn't. I'm not talking about the actual fashion show. It was like the preview to the fashion show. And if
and
she's going to give a
think
nod.
That the editor-in-chief of Vogue is getting
I don't care.
Access.
I hated it.
I think the reason Devil Wears Prada is so good is because it's so spot on. Anyway.
Well, don't make a Bobo Devil Wears Prada then. And when I say Bobo, guys, if you guys don't know what that means, it means like fake, false.
Knockoff. Well, my other likes are little. Like you said, I liked the outdoor Parisian moments. I like an on-location setting. I'm glad we did get those because the rest of this movie wasn't giving Paris Fashion Week to me. Mm. So much so that I was like, there's no way they're in Paris until they're crossing a bridge. I'm like, apparently I'm wrong, but... I also think the addition of Lauren's police detective father is a nice little nod to her being part of this crime-solving ring.
I have some thoughts about that as well. I'll get to it in a second. But I do agree with you about the outdoor locations in Paris. I think they were at, I'm going to butcher it, Montmartre. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. I can visualize it. I'm not going to try and say it though.
I think her and Giles, is that what
Giles?
We said? Giles. I think that they were on these like large outdoor steps. I'm pretty sure that's where they were at, but I know I butchered the name and send your emails to meganandwendy@gmail.com. I did listen to a YouTube video on how to pronounce it. And look, I can barely get English to roll
look
off this tongue.
There's also a moment where they're like down by the water, the
mm-hmm.
Seine.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, that's recognizable.
Yeah,
that was the moment where I was like, oh, they're in Paris, but I ain't buying it.
And they showed all those fences with the like locks on it and all that crap. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Wishes.
Oh, that's it? That's all you liked?
I mean, do you guys have a really long list that you'd like to go through right now?
No, I'm done.
I had 5 things on my list. That's a long list.
Mine were only 2. Did you go through all 5?
I really did. Maybe you weren't here.
Let's talk about Wish For then.
Go for it.
I could get behind this series if our main character, Lorne, was just a normal psychologist and not a fashion psychologist. Now, look, I saw fashion psychologist is like a real thing, but then we're not like pigeonholed for every like forthcoming movie to be about crimes that take place in the fashion world.
Interesting.
Like, how many fashion crimes can actually happen?
Well, to your point, my first comment is her job is real. Like, fashion psychologists exist, but she isn't doing it. Mm. That's not what she's doing, is like doing breathing exercises in a fashion-y setting. Mm-hmm. A fashion psychologist is like someone who thinks about like, how is this clothing going to evoke certain, like, what do we want this collection to say? What emotions do we want to bring out? How does fashion have these effects? Not like, you're in fashion, let's do box breathing. It didn't make sense. So to your point, I agree with you that I think it's a mistake. However, if they're just going to make up a job for her, like decide what fashion psychologist means on the fly, probably doesn't really matter.
And you mentioned it earlier. I did enjoy that, like, her dad was like a former NYPD like detective or whatever. So like, give me like her being a psychologist and then using those skills that she learned from her dad and let her solve crimes that way.
Like, yeah, maybe she's gonna pivot. Maybe we're gonna have a career pivot.
Let's hope.
I don't need to see bad fashion in every future movie in this franchise.
No, you know what I felt like I was watching? I felt like I was watching a real life version of a Barbie cartoon. My daughter is now a teenager, but when she was a child, really rode hard for Barbie full length movies. They were animated though, and there was one about like fashion in Paris. I can't even remember. Fashion Fairy Tale is what I think it's called. And that's what I felt like I was watching.
I like that analogy. So to your point, again, at the moment, I'm wearing a sweater that I bought from Nordstrom Rack. I am not a fashion powerhouse. Nevertheless, I am a viewer of these movies and I'm supposed to buy into these movies. And the fashion wasn't doing it. It's like, pull some prom looks off the rack and put them. It's supposed to be cutting edge. It's not necessarily supposed to be fancy, right?
Right.
Fashion Week is supposed to be like edgy and giving you kind of like, most people don't wear the stuff on the runway. They're supposed to be like, we're showing lots of black and white and geometric in an edgy way. And then that's what's going to inform the mass market clothing that gets made. Like, runway couture is not what the average person is wearing.
Correct.
They were just wearing like fancy dresses.
Yeah.
And it wasn't given Fashion Week to me.
I will tell you, I did think the costuming that they put Brooke in, she looked fantastic.
She did.
Even her basic black and beige, which she said was classic, I thought she looked fabulous in. And then they put her in that beautiful like red dress. And to be also, then it was a very Pretty Woman type moment where like, oh, actually, this is what it reminded me of. I was watching it at first and I was like, oh, it's like Pretty Woman when like her and the detective like meet each other and they walk towards each other, right? And then I felt like I was watching Love is Blind when they're like first meet. When the walls come up and they meet each other in the middle.
That's good. That's good.
But I thought she looked beautiful throughout. But I agreed, all the other fashion was like, what is happening?
May I tell you another wish?
Yes.
I think that the use of a lot of French adds to the authenticity. I'm going to compliment sandwich this. It does add to the authenticity of the movie. We're using French actors. They speak French. If you're actually in France, even though you are an English speaker, people are going to be speaking French around you and then may transition to English. Mm-hmm. However, In this particular case, I found that it took me out of the moment rather than bringing me into the moment. I found it very distracting. This is just me as a viewer. It was like, oh, I can't relate to what's going on here. Didn't work for me.
Got it. They made Brooke kind of be like this, like, stereotypical American where she's like, I don't know any French. Bonjour, merci to everything. It's like, come on. Like, I just thought that was...
I hated that too.
I hated all that.
And she didn't plan to go on this trip, by the way. It's not like she was like, I'm going to work in Paris. At the last minute, she was whisked off. She didn't have time to prepare.
Yeah, but then her friend Charlotte, who spoke French, should have like been there and like translated for her.
Yeah, but then everyone wouldn't have gotten to make a joke about how she's a single language speaking American.
I get it. Blame I get it.
Education system, y'all. I don't know what you want me to say.
I hated Virgil St. James. I thought he was so... That's the character.
I know who he is.
The fashion designer. He was like a caricature of like what a French fashion designer is supposed to be. It was like so over the top. And at one point, I thought he was doing like an awful French accent. And to read in our news and notes that he is an actual French person makes me feel bad. But I was like, is he doing like a bad French American accent? Do you know what I mean?
But he was not.
It was not great.
Okay.
Finally, my last wish is there were too many characters, too many suspects. I hate all that.
Yeah. Me too. I did not care who murdered that lady.
Didn't care either. And one final wish, how fugly was that handbag that they were like making such a big deal about?
And the gigantic murder weapon hairpin. Whose hair? I was cringing at the idea of them shoving. I'm like, that's going to slice her hair right off. It's the weight of a hammer. I did not understand. I knew they wanted like an edgy looking thing to my previous point. You want to have something edgy on the red carpet. But those things were weapons. They weren't like reminiscent of weapons. It was like, give me a nunchuck and put it in her hair.
It reminded me of like a stake that you would put in the ground to hold a tent down. That's huge. It was huge.
It was a mess. Yes.
Ugh.
Okay, let's talk. Did you see that?
I only have one.
Okay.
Lauren was seen wearing a crossbody bag many times while she was in the city, and I thought,
you're going to get pickpocketed?
No, you want to wear a crossbody bag. You want to wear your valuables close to your body. So she did good. They did good.
Oh, nice. They read your blog post.
Don't be mean.
I'm not. I love it. They want us to believe that we've got these really intelligent police on the case. And then they miss the fact that in the center of this warehouse is a box with a beware of dog sign on it. Like, don't touch me. Don't look in here. Nothing to see here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the few things left after they've cleared out the warehouse. And it happens to lead to a hidden creepy staircase where they've actually hidden everything. I mean, you're telling me that these guys are going to raid this and be like, well, we're not going to look at that one very large box oddly placed in the middle of the floor over there. And to your other point, they did absolutely give away who the murderer was, or at least the chaser was, in the very beginning. The person had a distinct body style shared by no other character in the movie.
I know. I had solved the crime before I had even started.
Like, oh, they just handed that to us on a platter.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the people who liked this movie. I just thought it was so terrible. So terrible.
It didn't work for me as a viewer. And I know that there are people who liked a lot of technical aspects of this movie. And I can appreciate that sometimes. For me, it wasn't my favorite. And I'm sad to say that because I do love a lot of the actors in this movie.
Same. And I was hoping, because we hadn't had a new movie in weeks, I was like, is this going to be like something great? Like, get me back into the swing of things. And it was not.
Unfortunately.
What'd you rate this movie?
Oh, I gave it a very generous 2 stars.
So did I. Exactly. Okay. Not strong enough for it. Wait, I'm sorry. But not strong enough for a series. Like, I don't think it should be a series going forward.
I do think there could be some heat between Brooke and Jill. So
for sure. Put them in something else.
Just change course completely. Thank you for listening to this episode of Girls Gone Hallmark. If you love this podcast, we love your 5-star ratings and reviews in the podcast app of your choice. If you want to talk Hallmark movies and series at any time, join our Facebook group, Girls Gone Hallmark. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.